In the second grade, my teacher told me, "Kevin, you're never going to have a podcast." Well, guess what, teacher? Today is episode 20 of the People Passionate Podcast. No, I'm just kidding. Podcasts didn't exist in the 90s, but today is indeed episode 20 of the People Passionate Podcast. So I'm really excited. Today's show is an interview I did with my friend Liz. And I met Liz last September at my girlfriend's brother's wedding. And I found out at the time that she lived and worked in the Virgin Islands. And when she was describing what she did in the Virgin Islands, I was just floored. I was like, "Man, that sounds awesome." And, some time went by, and recently she posted a video of her time in the Virgin Islands in the past few weeks. And the video was just amazing. It was just her doing a bunch of fun stuff, working on the boat and going fishing and hiking and all this stuff. And I was just like, "This is amazing." So I decided to reach out to her and, ask her if she was willing to come on the show and talk a little bit about how she got to where she is today and the kind of mindset that's required to break out of the conventional lifestyle and pursue doing what you love. So yeah, really excited about this interview. Check it out.
Hello.
So I was just wondering, I don't know how to pronounce your last name, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people don't.
It's Galuli.
Okay, that's exactly how I thought it was, but I just wasn't
Yeah.
sure. And my last name is
Yeah.
Clichus. I'm not sure if you were,
Clytus,
yeah,
okay.
it rhymes with righteous. So, but that's not a
Okay.
very good way to, introduce myself to people because they're like, "Oh, this guy is full of himself if I say righteous."
Right.
But cool. Well, finally we get a chance to talk for once.
Yes, I know. It has been a struggle.
You don't have a desk job, obviously. You don't work typical 9 to 5 hours. So I guess if you could describe what you do now and
Yeah, sure.
what sorts of like what a typical, I guess there is no typical day, but what an average day is for you.
Okay. Yeah, so I am the first mate on a 116-foot sailing yacht. My job is kind of a little bit of everything. I'm basically the captain's right-hand person, and we have to do everything from maintenance to picking courses, figuring out where we're going to travel to, and basically keeping the owners happy. We work on a private yacht, and so the owners are only on board maybe 5 to 8 times a year. So it's sort of wherever they want the boat to be for their next vacation, that's where we end up going. So in July of this year, they want to be in Croatia. So currently we're in the Caribbean, but we have to go over there and have the boat ready for them when they want to go to Croatia. After that, I think they want to go back to the Caribbean. So it's sort of a back and forth kind of thing.
So these people are very well-off individuals that have yachts, and then you just kind of steer it where they want it.
Exactly.
So how did you find out about this gig?
I was working in St. John on a 50-foot catamaran, working with like my best friends. It was kind of the dream job then, and I was very happy there. But I did have the desire to travel a little bit more. And so after I got my captain's license, I put a resume together just of all my experience, and I put it up on some crew finder websites. And within 2 weeks, I got a call from this captain, and the opportunity seemed kind of too good to pass up. So I ended up packing up all my stuff, and within 2 weeks, I was on the boat and had quit my job and moved on.
So
So,
you quit your job at St. John.
yep.
Okay, so that job right there was also a pretty awesome job in itself, right?
Yeah, it was
What were you
awesome.
doing there?
I was working as a mate on like I said, a 50-foot day charter catamaran. So we would take people, tourists out pretty much every day, and we would just go sail around St. John and the Virgin Islands and also over to the British Virgin Islands and sort of take people sightseeing, take them snorkeling and get them drunk and bring them back to St. John. And yeah, I worked with all of my best friends pretty much, and we were an all-female crew, which was pretty unique. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun doing that job.
Yeah, and how long had you worked there?
I worked there for just about 2 years.
Okay. So you were doing that for 2 years, and then you decided that you wanted to do something else. You wanted to travel and change it up a little bit.
Yeah.
So what's it looking like going forward? Like, how long do you envision yourself working the job that you have now?
I don't know. It's so open-ended at this point. I'm really happy in the position where I am right now, and I'm not sure. I could see myself with them for the next 6 years, or I could be with them for the next 6 months. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. So you definitely are a free spirit where you don't necessarily like if someone said you're going to be in this next job for the next 20 to 30 years, would that be scary to you?
Yeah, that is like my ultimate nightmare.
Okay, gotcha. So like you're enjoying the job now and it's awesome, but you're kind of always looking for new experiences and stuff like that.
Right. And for as long as this is, I'm growing and I'm learning and I'm continuing to better myself and all that stuff, experience new things, I'll stay with the job. But, after 2 years of doing the day charter thing, I kind of felt like I didn't have much more room to grow. And I sort of was operating on autopilot every day when I went to work. And that's the kind of thing that sort of makes me want to gets me itching to leave,
Yeah, definitely. So I want to ask you, I want to take it back to, let's say, college. What did you major in college?
Okay, so I graduated from high school in 2008, and I was all set to go to St. Joseph's University. I had gone to the orientation and everything, and that was the plan. I had gone to a very prestigious high school in Manhattan. It was a private school, and I was ready to go. And then a week before I was supposed to go, my parents sat me down, and 2008, as you probably know, was like a huge banking meltdown, and everybody had financial problems.
Yes.
And so my parents sat me down and told me that essentially there was no money to pay for my college. And so if I was going to go to college, it would be on my own dime. And they basically said they'd be happy to help me figure out loans and, financial aid and all that stuff. But, if I wanted to take some time to think about my future, then they would be okay with that too. Or, they were very supportive, and honestly, it was kind of the best thing that ever happened because I took that year. I took a year off, and I took that year and I traveled a little bit. I went and lived on my sister's couch in Boston. I had a waitressing job, and I wasn't really loving that. And I ended up backpacking through Nicaragua, Honduras, and Guatemala. And at that point, I kind of fell in love with traveling and with filming things and like making short films and with writing. And so those, while I was traveling, I really felt the most creative and, able to express myself. And I just like found a flow with it all, And so when I got back, after that year of sort of exploring, I decided to do a year of college. And so I went to Brooklyn College for the first semester and then Hunter College for the second semester. And I sort of took a variety of classes and I liked them all. I learned a lot and I had a 3.8 GPA and I was doing really well, but I got an opportunity to sail from New York down to the Caribbean and kind of decided that that's what I should do and I should stop wasting all my money in New York City paying for rent and all this stuff on an education that I didn't really think was going to serve my future interests that well.
Right.
So I sort of dropped everything and hopped on a boat, and we sailed from New York to Bermuda, and then Bermuda to St. Martin, and St. Martin to St. John, which is where I ended up for the next 4 years.
Okay, so you did, so essentially you did what, a year of college and you decided that you weren't going to go back?
Right. I did a year, and I may still go back at some point. I really love studying and learning and all that stuff. I'm just not sure that having that degree is that important to me. I think that I'd love to go to college to take classes, but at the end of the day, having a degree in my hand doesn't really mean anything to me
Yeah.
in the current field that I'm in, especially.
Yeah, absolutely. So like I wrote an article recently that kind of touched upon that point. It was more geared towards people that wanted to go to grad school, but really it kind of applies to education in general, at least for people that want to get a degree of some sort. If they don't think they're going to use it, if they're not really like utilizing it to its full potential, then really what are they getting it for? They're spending so much time and so much money for what? Like they're trying to impress people with this piece of paper, and then they found that they can't really get the job they want, and they're just another person in a sea of faces with bachelor's degrees, and it's kind of depressing. So that's really, it's really cool that you kind of seize the day and you found an opportunity and you went for it, versus just kind of like going the traditional path and saying, okay, I'll just, you know, go through the motions with college and then try to get this degree and find a job I don't like. So.
Right. Yeah. I think more and more in a lot of industries, it's becoming that experience is valued so much. You know, I don't want to say more, but in a sense, more than just your degree. Like I said, I'd love to go back to college, and when I have tons of money, I probably will take classes and just continue learning because I love learning. But yeah, the degree for me, it's not that important right now.
Yeah,
at least.
And you're making things work for you, so it sounds like it's okay.
Yeah.
So one thing that's interesting to me is that a lot of people are always worried about the future. They're saying, well, I have to get a job so I can have money, so I can have a retirement, and, you know, I can save up, and they're kind of worrying about getting all their ducks in a row. How do you feel about kind of, I don't want to say being aimless, but, you know, you have your different spots where you're working this job for a few years and you find something else. How does that affect you building a foundation for yourself later on in life? Like, what do you worry about, you know, having a pension or a 401k and benefits,
well,
and all this stuff?
Yeah. Well, the yacht that I'm working on right now, it provides me with health insurance, which is great because that's not something that I had previously.
Yeah.
So that kind of makes me feel a little bit more secure. I also opened an IRA last year. I do think about the future and I do think about saving money. And one of the great perks about the job that I'm currently in is that they give me a salary somewhat comparable to what I was making on St. John. And the only difference is that I have zero living expenses. I don't have one monthly bill, which is kind of crazy to think about.
That's great.
I don't have a cell phone. I don't have rent. I don't have mortgage. I don't have health insurance, obviously, because that's covered. So everything I make, I get to save. And they pay for all of our food. They pay for, you know, everything. So in a sense, I'm actually making way more money than I've ever made before. And I'm getting to save a lot right now, which is great. And, you know, I don't see myself doing like the crazy thing where you go and you work for 6 months and then you blow it all the next 6 months. I do have an idea for my future, and I definitely have a good amount of money saved and want to continue building that as well.
That's perfect. Well, I was thinking about the video that you published. I guess it was like a month ago when I first saw it. I was like, okay, I definitely have to talk to this person about their lifestyle and what they do and how awesome it is to live in the Virgin Islands. And I'll probably link people to that video because it's so awesome. How much time do you have for creative projects like that? Because you mentioned that you really care about, you know, spending your free time doing creative things. Like what? How many hours a week do you work versus the amount of time you spend working on personal things?
Yeah. So basically, a normal day is we go to the boat around 8 or 9-ish. If we're not living on the boat. If we're living on the boat, then we just roll out of bed around 8 or 9 and start working. And then we usually have an hour for lunch around noon, and we're done by 3 or 4. And so that leaves a decent amount of time to be on your own and to do whatever you want. And so I use that time really wisely, and I always go out and try to film something, I definitely write every day. And on the weekends, we have tons of time to ourselves. We usually have the weekends off. This past weekend, I went diving here in Antigua and hiking and all kinds of cool stuff. So it's great because the captain really encourages us to go explore. Since we're always moving, he's like, he's been to all these islands a million times, but he sort of gives some recommendations and he's excited for us to go travel. So we definitely get a good amount of time to go do our own thing, which is great. And
yeah,
I spend a lot of time, I use a lot of that time to film and to write, which is great. And I feel inspired to do so, you know,
yeah,
while traveling. It's cool because I decided in 2008 when I was traveling that, you know, I wanted to continue traveling, and I really didn't know what I wanted to do with my life and figure out what to do for a living. And this all kind of just happened. Like the more I pushed myself towards what I wanted, I knew that I wanted to be in warmer weather. So I kept thinking about that. And then I knew that I wanted to be traveling. So I kept thinking about that. And then, you know, like it's just little tiny things. I made small adjustments. And the more that I sort of aimed at that goal, the more that the universe kind of pushed me in that direction. And I had no idea that I'd be a yacht crew on like a, you know, sailing around the world essentially, but that's kind of what the universe put out for me when I was asking what I should do.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, it's something that a lot of people take a long, long time to figure that out, and some actually never do. And there's nothing wrong with working for a company for 30 years if that person is doing what they love. But I've just found from talking with a lot of people that if they stick with the job for more than a few years, they'll often feel really stuck, and they feel, like you said, like you're not being challenged, you're on autopilot. And I think that's pretty bad, because even if you are good at what you do, if you feel like you're not being challenged, if you're not doing something that really, you know, gets you enthusiastic to go to work in the morning, then it's time to move on. It's time to do something different.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. You know, when you the second you start feeling complacent and bored and dreading your job, I think that's when you need to start making some changes at least. You
Absolutely.
know.
And that's the message I want to get across to people, is that I think in the past they've been conditioned to think that that's just part of life, that you spend, you know, your adult years all the way up until you're 65, 70, I guess later now, because people are retiring later, just, you know, working the same job or similar jobs, and kind of, you know, essentially hating life when they
Yeah.
when they're just doing things that are always the same. So
Yeah. I mean, I feel really lucky to be a part of this generation. I know a lot of people complain about, you know, whatever, this and that, but you know, for the first time, I think maybe ever, I'm able to go off and be the first mate on a super yacht, and my parents are totally supportive and everybody understands, and I can keep in contact with everybody, and it's just like we're in such a unique time where all of these opportunities are so available to everybody. And, you know, it's just everybody should take advantage of that, I guess.
definitely. Well, so how do your friends respond when you tell them what you're up to these days?
I guess most of them are super jealous. If they're a lot of my friends are working in New York City and they're just like, oh, you've got the dream job. I don't know how you do it. Like, you're so lucky. You fall into all these awesome things,
Oh
and you know,
no.
sort of the the reality is that I create a lot of this
Exactly. I'm
stuff.
so glad you said that. I'm so glad you said that, because people tend to, they always attribute it to like the universe, which I don't want to be like, you know, that some fate kind of plays a part into it, but you can create that for
Right.
yourself, and it's not something that you just stumble upon. You can't sit at home or sit at work in your drab job just hoping that someone's going to come into your office and be like, "Hey, do you want to go to the Virgin Islands and sail around and have a great lifestyle?" Like, you have to make that happen.
Right. But yeah, no, I have so many friends who are so supportive, and the majority of my really close friends now all still live on St. John and are pretty permanent there. So I've got a great sort of place to go back there as well.
Yeah. And how about your family? Like, how, you said they were pretty supportive. So when you told them that you wanted to do all these things, that were they supportive from the get-go, or did they ever have kind of reluctance, like, "Well, do you want to go back to college? Do you want to get a job?"
Yeah, when I first sailed down from New York to St. John, I had a backpack with me and I had some guidebooks for Colombia, Ecuador, and Peru. And so I was kind of planning on going backpacking again. And so my mom was pretty thrilled when she found out that I was staying in the US Virgin Islands and not going off to South America by myself. So
Gotcha.
she was kind of stoked about that. And yeah, I think that it helps a lot when I keep in close contact with them. So I've been sending out sort of weekly updates to my whole family. It's like the list has grown and grown. Now it's like 70 people. I send out a weekly sort of update of what I'm up to and what I'm doing. And so they really enjoy seeing that. And I've gotten a lot of really positive responses from sort of distant family members that I haven't seen in a long time, which is great. It kind of sucks when you're traveling like this, you know, you don't always get to go home for Christmas or Thanksgiving, and you hardly ever get to see the extended relatives. So it's cool that I've found a way now to keep in touch with everybody, and I think that they appreciate that too.
Yeah, certainly. What advice would you give someone that is listening to this? They're just kind of like, you know, I'm motivated that this sounds great, but what's the first step? Like, what should I do to start to change my reality?
Yeah. Well, I would say sort of, I guess I have a two-part advice. The first one would be to stop labeling yourself. Stop saying that, you know, you're not adventurous enough or you don't have the balls to do something like that, or you know, you're too much of a homebody, or, you know, whatever it is that you're labeling yourself as, just let go of all that, because it's not real. And the more you say it about yourself, the more you, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, basically. Mm-hmm. So I would suggest that everybody stops with that. And then the second thing would be to just make one small step every day towards what they want. You know, if you're not sure what you want your career to be, and you know that you can picture yourself happy on a beach with a Mai Tai, then go out today and buy a beach hat and a sarong, and even if you're living in Alaska, and just sort of move in that direction and just do small things every day that sort of lead towards what you want, and opportunities will start to open up for you.
That's great advice. And I think I totally agree too, because, you know, that regarding the self-fulfilling prophecy thing, a lot of people tend to think, well, you know, this is who I am and I can't do it, and they kind of box themselves in.
Yeah. I'm definitely not claiming to like have all the answers or know what the right thing to do is, but you know, that's something that's helped me a lot. I used to say that I have, you know, an addictive personality. So then I just started behaving that way, you know, smoking cigarettes, drinking, all this stuff. And the second I let go of that and said, okay, maybe I don't have an addictive personality, maybe I just like routine, then I started changing my routines. And, you know, once you let go of what you label yourself as, I think that it frees you a lot. I also have some awesome books I can recommend.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. I totally forgot about that. Yeah. Yes, please.
Yeah. I definitely recommend The Road Less Traveled. That was a good one. The Art of Happiness with the Dalai Lama. That one was pretty life-changing. I read that one in Nicaragua. Blink by Malcolm Gladwell. That's always a good read. Another book that was awesome was called My Year with Eleanor. It was written by a friend of mine, actually, who lives in St. John. And I met her in St. John, and I read this book, and it's great. She took a year to do one thing that scares her every day, and it's a great read.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it was awesome. And then The 4-Hour Work Week, which I think you also recommend, but it's awesome.
Yeah.
Life-changing.
The 4-Hour Work Week was one of my favorite books. And I guess the words that most accurately describe the kind of vision that I'm trying to convey to people is that they can take control. It's called lifestyle design. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just kind of shaping your reality. And not, you don't even have to make drastic changes right away. Kind of like what you were saying, is you kind of take small steps towards doing what you want to do. And for people that want to pursue their passion and have their dream job, obviously you can't just wake up tomorrow, quit your job, and go for something immediately. You kind of have to do, you know, baby steps.
Right.
So, yeah, and then 4-Hour Work Week is a great resource for people that are kind of interested in practical ways to go about doing that. Where can people go to connect with you if they want to message you and just say, hey, Liz, you're awesome. Thanks for the interview.
Well, I'll give you an email address. Maybe you can include it in the comments or something, or in whatever you post.
Yeah.
With this.
Yeah. And also, is it cool with you if we post your Vimeo account?
Yeah, that's fine.
Awesome. Sounds great. Well, thank you so much for talking with me today, Liz.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm sure I'll chat with you soon.
All right. Talk to you later, guys.
See you, bye. Okay. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. I will definitely post all the links and resources mentioned in the episode in the show notes. So if you're interested in reading some of the books that Liz recommends, or if you'd like to connect with her, you can go to peoplepassionate.com and you will see the episode show notes listed under podcasts. Also, feel free to connect with me at kevin@peoplepassionate.com. Always love to hear from my listeners and my audience. And yeah, thanks very much. I'll see you guys later.